Coming up on today's edition of Locked On Eagles, it's a mailbag edition from the show. We're going to hear from our Locked On Eagles listeners, a lot of good topics to get into. Also, take a look at the updated BetOnline MVP odds. You might be surprised where Jalen Hurts is listed. That's coming up next right here on Locked On Eagles.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily Philadelphia Eagles podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
We thank you so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Welcome in, Eagles fans, to a Wednesday edition of the show. It's episode 3 this week of 5, downloaded into your phone wherever you get your podcasts, also in video form on YouTube. And make sure you hit us up on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at GC24_football, and at DBLCLOE. Gino's doing the hand signs for our listeners, of course, the most Italian Eagles podcast I think you will ever get. One day we got to get Nick Sirianni on the show, Nick Sirianni to complete the trifecta of Italian diehards and Eagles coaches for sure. Gino, what's up, man? Your Avs play tonight too, right? So not a bad day. Up 3-1 against St. Louis.
It's been a wild sports week for me, my friend. Man City wins the league title in the Premier League, and
I was at a Liverpool bar for it.
I know you're really my rival on a lot of things. I think we have.
I'm a new soccer guy, man. And my brother made me become a Liverpool fan, but I'm having fun.
Yeah, we have a lot of similarities, but a lot of things that are different as well. And to speak to your point on Italians and the Eagles, they just promoted someone to their second in command to Howie Roseman with the last name Ferrari.
Ferrari, I'm like, that's got to be somebody that's Italian.
That's for sure, man. And that's another guy that you just add him to the queue of all the people that have that heritage. And Nick Sirianni's one of them. And from Jamestown, New York. And hey, we're right by there when I lived in Buffalo. Surprising news.
Something about Western New York Italians and the Philadelphia Eagles, I guess. But Gino, you mentioned the front office promotions that happened as a result of yesterday. Andy Weidel, the Eagles VP of player personnel, is now the assistant GM with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So they lose 4 prominent front office members this offseason. Mm-hmm. Gino and I got into what happened there and the state of the front office on yesterday's podcast, got into the Eagles trying to bring back maybe, or at least considered bringing back Nick Foles before he signed with the Colts. We also got into the Jimmy Moreland signing, the new Eagles slot cornerback behind Avante Maddox. So you can find that show on all podcast platforms. Again, today we're going to get into the mailbag portion of the show in segment 2 and 3. A lot of great questions from you listeners. Thanks so much for contributing to that. But Gino, before we do get into that, wanted to talk to you about the updated BetOnline MVP odds for the 2022 NFL season. Your boy Justin Herbert right now at the top at +550. But look here, Jalen Hurts is in the top 10. He is number 9 here, tied for 8th actually with Deshaun Watson at +1800. Is that too high, too low?
When you look at MVP odds, I kind of almost look at it as how you would approach something for fantasy football as well. You want to think statistics. You want to think output. The guys on this list, they're either one pure pocket passers that are going to go for 5,000 plus yards, or they're those dual threat types like a Jalen Hurts, like a Deshaun Watson, like a Russell Wilson, these guys that can move around and are mobile and will pick up a lot of yards with their legs. Look at number 2, Josh Allen. A huge part of his game is what he can do on the ground as well. I'm not surprised by that, honestly, Lou. Jalen Hurts, with everything around him, the talk of Andy Reid being a big fan of him as well. I think the league is really buying in to what Jalen Hurts can do. He's a well-respected quarterback in this league, a well-respected individual, and it only goes to show that they really do support him with the weapons that they put around him. Right. And I love that he's in the potential MVP conversation, because that's the mark you should look for in your quarterback. Could they ever potentially hit that ceiling of being that player that you win because of on constant occasions? The closest we've ever seen to that was 2017 with Carson Wentz, when he just had that fantastic season where multiple games you're looking and saying your quarterback was the reason you walked out of there with a win.
Yeah, Jalen Hurts. Players here. I mean, Jalen Hurts. What these guys do.
got to live up to some big names in this conversation, but rightfully so. That's today's NFL. That's the landscape of the NFC in general. And our friend Brian Peacock today over at the Locked On NFL show put the Eagles as his fifth best team in the NFC. If they're going to be a top five potential team in this conference, a lot of it would have to come at the hands of Jalen. Yeah. That's for sure.
I wouldn't bet on him to win MVP at plus 1800. I don't think he's going to take that kind of step this year, but I do understand why he's a favorite right now, why he's getting a lot of hype. As you said, the Eagles built around him tremendously this offseason, trading for AJ Brown. He's got the best offensive line in football in front of him, and they continue to bolster that with Cam Jurgens in the second round. They've got Devontae Smith, Quez Watkins, Dallas Goedert, Miles Sanders, Kenny Gainwell, a ton of weapons, and they're also going by the trends too, Gino. You look at what has been the blueprint for a lot of these MVP candidates and winners over the last 5 to 6 years. You mentioned Carson Wentz in 2017, didn't win it, but he would have if he didn't get hurt. Look at Patrick Mahomes. Look at, as well, Lamar Jackson. Look at Josh Allen coming just short in 2020 behind Aaron Rodgers. It was a second year. Most of them are second year players in total, but in general, a second year starter who takes that big leap after a team really builds around him in year two. That's kind of the blueprint. So I get the logic as to why he is in the top 10 with, again, some incredible names. Again, I mean, look at the top 10. It's Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and Aaron Rodgers. I mean, some of the best in the game. Tom Brady, Russell Wilson, Deshaun Watson, and then there's Jalen Hurts. So he's in great company. But again, that's kind of been the trend of the MVP. So I do understand it. For me, though, Lamar Jackson plus 2,500, hammer those odds as he drags that carcass of the Ravens Eagles 2019-like receiving core to the playoffs this year. That'd be my bet.
Looking at the odds in total, I for sure am with you on taking a guy like Lamar, even Kyler Murray.
Kyler's got over great odds, 3,300. Yeah, I like that. That's great.
If you're going to give me 1,500 points over what Jalen Hurts is at between him and Kyler Murray, you go with the bang for your buck. I look at Jalen Hurts, and people compare him to Lamar Jackson, right? I don't think that is a fair comparison. You don't think it is either. If you're going to look at the threshold for what Jalen Hurts should look to get to, if he were to be in the conversation for MVP, I think it's very similar to the season that Lamar Jackson had.
Yeah, 2019 Lamar would be the most similar path or realistic.
It would have to be a big output with your arm year over year, jumping over what you did in 2021. And staying on par with those measures that you've hit and matched Lamar on with your legs. And that's one thing you could look at. If you're going to look at a trajectory of what Jalen can get to, he's already on par with what Lamar does with his legs. If he could even take a percentage step over what Lamar does with his arm, with better weapons than Lamar has ever had, there's something to be said about the potential that Jalen Hurts could have arguably his best year in Philadelphia and prove a lot of people wrong. And it has to come through the air and improve in that area as well, because we know what he can do with his legs. Just become a more versatile passer to open up the playbook and allow all of these weapons to flourish, which will get you to 4,000 or more yards. I would like to see Jalen, if he could get 4,000 yards in the air, that's a fantastic season. I'll take that any day of the week.
It's only happened once ever in franchise history. Carson Wentz back in 2019. You're right that that would be the most realistic path, because he doesn't even have to throw for 4,000 yards. His passing touchdowns could increase six touchdowns passing in 2018 to 36 in 2019. He had a 36-9 ratio that year, 36-6, excuse me, 36 passing touchdowns and 6 interceptions, only threw for 3,127 yards. But again, though, that still was a historic season, 36-6, and Lamar on the ground that year rushed for, let's see here, it was 1,206 yards and 7 touchdowns. So that's over 40 touchdowns and 4,000 from scrimmage, pretty much. I mean, but yeah, I agree. If there was a path for Jalen, it would be most similar to that year compared to what Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers are doing. I just don't think he has that in him, but there he is at plus 1,800. So get your bets in at Bet Online, as he is a top 10 candidate for MVP. Gino, you see on the right here, our Locked On official account posted some other notable dark horses. You see of all those guys, Trey Lance, I see Tua in there, Derrick Henry, Justin Fields. Is there, like, of all those players, like the non-quarterbacks or maybe the dark horse quarterbacks, who's your favorite? It's a quarterback award pretty much, though, at this point, so I wouldn't even waste your time with Derrick Henry or even Jonathan Taylor.
I was going to say it's 66-1, though. Jonathan Taylor, what he does for that Indianapolis team.
Yeah, I just, like, he really, last time it was AP, right, in 2012? Right.
But he is what people thought Christian McCaffrey was going to be. He's more versatile. He's more stable to be on the field. He's more reliable. I think he's going to have another impressive season in Indianapolis. If I'm taking long shot odds, say that 20 yeah. times fast, I'm going there, or I'm going Devontae Adams at 100-1, goes back there with Derek Carr. They go back to the Fresno connection. I could see him putting up like a Randy Moss-esque season when it comes to touchdowns, when he went and played with Tom Brady and had that career year. I could see something happening like that with Devontae Adams. He's going to go off in Vegas, man. I really think he's going to go off with him. But you got to go to one place and one place only to place your bets. It's Bet Online, Lou. You know that.
Absolutely. Carson Wentz was at 100-1. Eagles fans would hate me, but that would be the bet I would take of all of those for sure. But definitely interesting to see what
Sam
happens
Howell's
in the 2022 season.
Quarterback.
I don't know, man, but we'll get more into Eagles in Washington as the offseason continues here, because there is a lot of hype heading into 2022 for the NFC East. It looks a lot more competitive than in past years. Today, we're going to get into our mailbag segments in segment 2 and 3 coming up next right here on Locked on Eagles. But guys, first, a shout out to one of our sponsors, and it's Athletic Greens. They have a product that we use literally every day. I started taking Athletic Greens because simply I don't have enough time in the day to prepare the amount of healthy meals I need to get through. I've got a lot of jobs right now, a day job, Locked on Eagles, writing for Fox 43, a radio station up in Buffalo. So the grind is real. I needed more energy, good feeling energy, not caffeine through coffee and energy drinks. So I've been using Athletic Greens for a few months now, and I really do love it. It doesn't really taste healthy either. It has a mild tropical flavor that I'm really into, and I look forward to drinking it each and every morning. So what is this stuff, though? Well, with one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day right. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging. All of those things. I've sent it over to my brothers too. They're really enjoying it. It supports better sleep quality and recovery, supports mental clarity and alertness. It's one of those things with all of the best things. It costs you less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, and it's cheaper than your cold brew habit. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition, especially heading into allergy season. Cold and flu still continues. It's just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free 1 year supply of immune supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/NFL network. Again, visit athleticgreens.com/NFL network to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance at Athletic Greens. All right, Eagles fans, thanks so much for tuning into this Wednesday edition of Locked On Eagles, and we thank you for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. For your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast, the biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day, available on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your shows. Gino, we're doing a mailbag today. We haven't done a mailbag in about a month, I would say, so I wanted to hear from our listeners now that the draft has died down. They moved up for Jordan Davis. They stole N'Kobe Dean. I kind of always leap over Cam Jurgens. Got to throw him in there as well, your second-round pick. They traded for A.J. Brown. But then they brought in James Bradberry last week and Jimmy Moreland this week on Monday. So it feels like all the big moves have been made since the mailbag. So I want to see what our listeners are thinking right now, as things are now probably, although it's Howie Roseman, but they're probably going to die down heading into the month of June and July until Eagles training camp. So let's get into some mailbag questions. And I want to start here with a question from it's got to be a Quez Watkins fan. It's at Quez Season 2022. And he asks, and this isn't even about Quez, though, by the way, although he does have a Quez question after. And we haven't touched on this, so it's kind of interesting. What should the expectations be for Brandon Graham's role in 2022. Coming off a torn Achilles, he's kind of been the heartbeat of your defensive line for a decade now, of course, your best edge rusher over that decade. But they brought in Hassan Riddick. They have Derek Barnett back on a contract. Josh Sweat took another leap last year. He's got that contract extension. The defense is going to look different too. You've got, you know, a different formation, a bunch of different formations. Linebackers have bigger roles. You know, interior defensive line, they're pretty deep. Like, what do you think Graham's role is going to look like this year on the field? Because, of course, he's a leader, and that's not going anywhere.
I would say that he's going to be your rotational edge rusher. And what he's going to do, I would say, primarily would be the strong side edge rusher against the run. He'll be there on pass downs to go after the passer. I think you could probably stand him up between Hassan Riddick and maybe Fletcher Cox at times, get him moving in and out of the formation, because you talk about the player that really provoked this idea of versatility in defensive linemen within the Eagles scheme. It was Brandon Graham. Looking at the biggest play in Eagles history, Brandon Graham rushing from a three-tech position as an interior defensive lineman against Shaq Mason, getting a strip sack on Tom Brady. He's going to be utilized. I'd say get him 30% of the snaps this season, keep his legs fresh, allow him to go out there and do what he does best and win with his motor. And how he's going to do that in his older age, I will say. You can't call these guys old. They're still, 33 isn't that old. In football terms. But looking at what he can do, keep him fresh with that fiery motor so he can win with his competitive edge against the run and against the pass. 30% of the snaps, like I said, should probably where you want to fit him in. You know, give him maybe 1 to 2 snaps per set of four downs. He's not going to be an every drive type of player, I would say.
No.
You could probably get him in there every other drive. He's going to be a big piece, though. I mean, outside of Josh Sweat, Hassan Riddick, it's still figured out. Derek Barnett is there. You got Taron Jackson. You have a lot of younger guys that are going to be more stand-up type players in Patrick Johnson and Kyron Johnson. So Brandon Graham, I think he's going to walk out into the sunset having a productive season to the standards of what that role would bring. If he can rack up 4 or 5 sacks on the season, get 25, 30 tackles, I think that's a successful year for Brandon Graham.
He's going to change his role. And I think the great thing about Brandon Graham is he's such a team first guy and he loves the Philadelphia Eagles and being a leader, that he's going to accept being now the new, I would say, Chris Long and Vinny Curry. When Vinny Curry came back, and Derek Barnett in his early career, he's going to be a third or fourth defensive end rotating in. He is not going to be an every down player and the first guy in the field on the edge. It's going to be Josh Sweat and Hassan Riddick primarily featured in this role. And like you said, the defense is going to be different too. So that's also going to reduce his snaps, but especially in coming off the injury and the age, there's a lot of questions with everything we just wrapped up. Definitely. You shouldn't have high expectations, but at the same time, Brandon Graham has always produced really since he broke out in, 2013, 2014. He's been your best edge rusher overall throughout that tenure. I would still expect that if he is healthy, he's going to be productive when he's on the football field. Like, this is not a 38-year-old guy that's on his last legs and has nothing left. I think especially on the defensive line, you can play. I mean, guys like Robert Mathis and Dwight Freeney even showed this. I don't know why.
That's who it was. I was trying to think of the name of the DeMarcus player. That
Ware.
Dwight Freeney is perfect.
Yeah.
There's been
look at Chandler Jones doing it still. I mean, this late in his career, edge rushers can play deep into, the end of their career, into their 30s. So I think he's got a role. It's definitely reduced though. He is not going to be in the role even he was expected to have last year before he got hurt, for sure. So great question. Awesome one to start it off. Gino, another guy that fans wanted to know about that was a part of that Super Bowl core is Rodney McLeod. And, this hasn't really been talked about a whole lot. Rodney McLeod quietly signed a deal with the Indianapolis Colts, the Eagles at safety. You know, we didn't expect them to just run it back with Anthony Harris and Rodney McLeod, but we had a question here about McLeod and why they didn't bring him back. And this was from at Mr. Philly Sports. What rationale was there in not bringing back Rodney? And again, they weren't going to bring back, it was going to be, as we established on the show, it was going to be either Anthony Harris or McLeod. It wasn't going to be both. I thought it was going to be because they were going to sign a big name free agent, which of course they tried with Marcus Williams, or they were going to draft somebody high. Plus you have Marcus Epsenhouse and Kevon Wallace. I just didn't think it would be Harris over McLeod. I was a little bit surprised. And then when nothing happened after McLeod walked, I would probably, I wish McLeod still was on this defense for sure. And he's a leader. And I think Jason Avant even talked about it the other day on his podcast that he would have gave Derek Barnett's money to Rodney and bring him back in 2022, which I never thought about it that way, but I totally agree.
I would have to second, third, fourth that opinion for sure. If you're connecting the dots and filling in the blanks on this whole thing, though, look at who the current defensive coordinator is versus the one that was there when Rodney McLeod came in.
Yeah.
Rodney McLeod came in under a defensive coordinator who loved to run a lot of three high principles where you have a single high safety. You have the two corners that are going to stretch and take those vertical areas. Now, under Jonathan Gannon, it's going to be a lot more two high safety, come down. Can you tackle over the middle? Can you protect the middle from crossers? Anthony Harris did a lot of that when he was in Minnesota. Might not have played the best last year, but I thought he started to come around towards the end of the year. He started
way better in the second half of the year than the first half. Yeah,
he made some big time plays coming around there in the second half there, as well as Rodney McLeod did. Also to this facet, Marcus Epps, this team loves. They, from Howie Roseman down, everybody has answered a question on this guy, and everybody speaks highly of Marcus Epps. And to see what he did last year in limited roles and limited snaps, it garners, can he do more? While at the same time, this huge question mark of Kevon Wallace is there. So I think they're going to make do with everybody that's there. Rodney McLeod, I really think it comes down to wanting to go to a system that probably fits him a little bit better. I would say they're going to allow him to play more open and more free in that system. If you look who was there prior, like a Malik Hooker type of role there in Indianapolis, that's not really what they ran in Indy when JG was there, but they're going to go back to more of what Minnesota ran, where it's more two high safety, more quarters style stuff, where McLeod might want to be more free and open to do what he wants to do on the back end.
There's a combination of a lot of different things. Again, I liked McLeod better than Harris last year, and I would have brought him back over Harris if it was one or the other. But as you said, it's a scheme fit thing. Also, I don't think the Eagles intended on it, safety going the way it did. They wanted to sign Marcus Williams. I think they were hoping that somebody would have fell to them in the second round, like a Jalen Petrie or a Jaquan Brisker in the board. You know, the last two picks in the first round were Daxon Hill and Lewis Cine. The board just didn't fall that way. And, you know, so they couldn't force things. Yeah, now looking back, you wish you had Rodney McLeod and Anthony Harris back, considering the way things went. But again, it was a projection, and they chose Harris over McLeod. And like you said, Marcus Epps plays a part of it as well. And so does Kevon Wallace. I don't know. I still think Wallace can play. He just can't stay healthy. Mm-hmm. We have yet to see it on the field. We got another safety question we'll get into. We got to hit a break, though. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast, getting into a listener mailbag. We'll be right back.
Before we do that, we have a message from the official sportsbook of the Locked On Eagles podcast. We talked about MVP odds in our first segment. There's only one place that we rely on, and everybody at the Locked On Podcast Network relies on to place their wagers. You grab your handy dandy little phone here. I just got a new phone. It's got 5G, so I can place any wager at betonline.net. If I'm up in the mountains, if I'm sitting here in my basement recording the show, if I'm on the go, if I'm at a game, literally anywhere, you just go on to betonline.net. You go to the sports section. You pick what sport you want to wager on. If you're here at the Locked On Eagles podcast, you want to put a future in on the Eagles potentially winning the NFC East, potentially making the playoffs, Jalen Hurts potentially winning the MVP, any other futures, you can put them in at betonline.net, the official sportsbook of the Locked On podcast network. You can go over, bet any other sport that's going on right now. UFC has a ton of huge fights coming up. I'm betting on my Avalanche tonight, and there's only one place where I'm wagering. I got my wallet loaded up. I'm putting a wager on the Avs, and any other wager I do on sports betting, it happens at betonline.net, because BetOnline is where the game starts.
All right, Eagles fans, thanks so much for tuning in to this Wednesday edition of Locked On Eagles. We're getting into a listener mailbag, some awesome questions already about Brandon Graham's role in 2022, why they chose Anthony Harris over Rodney McLeod, and why they let McLeod go really in general. Gino, a couple other good questions I want to get into here as we wrap up the show. And this one was the follow-up question that I want to mention from at Quez Season 2022. Who has more scrimmage yards in 2022 between two offensive role players, Quez Watkins and Kenny Gainwell? This is interesting because Gainwell has the rushing ability and the receiving ability. Maybe no Jordan Howard this year to take away snaps. I don't think he's going to be a healthy scratch as many times as he was last year. So, but I don't know. I just think Quez Watkins is going to take an even bigger step this year. And if they're passing more, I know they got AJ Brown too, and Devontae Smith and Goddard should get more targets, but I like Watkins to have a breakout year. And I think the deep ball is coming more this year for him too. There were a lot of missed opportunities last year.
It's a very, very interesting question.
Yeah, it's a good
one. A lot of different variables to look at. Like, now Quez has AJ Brown there. He has Devontae Smith. He has all of those other options. If they are going to pass, would they give a target to Kenny Gainwell or would they give it to Quez Watkins?
Yeah, like who gets the screen, you know? I mean,
At the same time, does Kenny take on a bigger role knocking Boston Scott down? Maybe he even takes the number one spot from Miles if things go a certain way this season.
Or Miles breaks out. I mean, there's like a scenario where each break out and each have a reduced role in a way, right? I mean, because
somebody above them, somebody above them could be wildly more successful as Miles Sanders. To the other point of what I said, knocking him down, he could come out and have the best season of his career in a contract season. AJ Brown could take a lot of that away from Quez Watkins. Even a guy like Zach Pascal, who we don't know what they're going to do with. Greg Ward going down the list.
Yeah.
Now they have Zach Calcaterra as well as that second tight end. Where are these targets going to go to? If I'm looking at variability and how much I think the ceiling versus the floor on these guys varies, Quez is a lot closer to me. I think his ceiling and his floor is a lot closer than a guy like Kenny. I think things could go a certain way that Kenny doesn't produce the way we thought. And at the same time, it could go a way that he outproduces what we thought. Quez Watkins, I think he could be a 600 to 700 yard guy, potentially hit 750 or 800 if things go well with 4 to 5 touchdowns on the year. I'll go Quez Watkins to be safe. Kenny Gainwell, I think there are a lot of factors outside of Kenny himself that could take away from his production.
Well, and I just think Watkins is the better player. And although, targets could go to all these new weapons, I mean, the combination of passing more and having the looks being better and more efficient for Quez this year should put him over that yardage total he had last year, which was 647.
More yards in space for sure. He'll have a lot of room to work in the yards after the catch area.
Because if things go the way we want it to, look at like the Bengals yardage totals last year. Yeah, maybe Smith and AJ Brown don't both have over 1,000 yards like Jamar Chase and T. Higgins did in Cincinnati. But, you know, if they throw more and they have that success and Jalen takes a step, their third passing target and Tyler Boyd also had over 800 yards last year. They didn't have a Dallas Goedert to throw to, but, you know, I think Quez could get over the 700 yard mark. Is Gainwell going to get there? I don't know. I mean, he could. Last year, he was at 544 total from scrimmage, and that was with a lot of games he was kind of being scratched. It's a great question. You could go back and forth, but I agree, Gino. I would go with Quez Watkins, but, I mean, those are your, like, fifth and sixth options in this offense.
Fantastic question.
A lot of depth on this offense, for sure. And, of course, we got this one, and we'll do it to wrap up the show. If Jalen Hurts, and this is from, let's see, just so I make sure I'm getting this right, at Parker Bayless, if Parker asks, if Jalen Hurts does not take the step needed in 2022, do you have a favorite 2023 quarterback prospect?
I'm not.
Do you, Gino?
Right,
do you?
You, but know,
do, you
I
have,
mean,
who's, do you have a favorite, like outside of Stroud and Young, is there like a third guy you like? You got to prepare. Their college football's coming up too.
I know. It's coming quick, man. It's almost June. We're going to have
I've got two guys already, but you know.
Jake Haener is mine.
Jake Haener is your guy.
Till the cows come home, it's Jake. Yeah. What a ridiculous question. We just had the draft. I mean, we're going to have to answer things.
People
like got to
prepare, man. I mean, it's coming up. It's a great quarterback class, and Eagles got two firsts. It's not going to go away until Jalen does hit the field. And
I wish we could have just had a couple weeks to have something other to talk about.
I like Will Levis the best from Kentucky right now. I think Anthony Richardson from Florida has some upside, but he's so raw. There's a dark horse from Washington State to keep an eye out for, Cam Ward, who just transferred over from the FCS. That could be your boom, come out of nowhere prospect this year to watch in college football. But And look, it's going to come up. It's a strong class, and the Eagles still unknown at quarterback. So thanks, everybody, for the questions. If you didn't get your question answered on the podcast, we'll be sure to answer it on Twitter. Make sure you follow us, always answering questions all throughout the day, at LockedOnBirds, at DBLCLOE, and at GC24_football. Thanks so much for making Locked On Eagles your first listen each and every day. Make sure your second listen is the Locked On NFL podcast. All the news across the league in under 30 minutes. Colin Kaepernick getting a workout today with the Raiders. A lot going on, so check out that show wherever you get your podcast. For Gino Camilleri, I'm Lou DiBiase signing off. As always, thank you for downloading. Thank you for watching and listening. And let's go, Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.